In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning into the Word for Life broadcast brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Once again, my name is Jake Schnorr. I'll be your host for today. If you're interested in a copy of the show notes of this broadcast or any other broadcast that you listen to, or if you have a question or an idea for a future broadcast, you can email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Additionally, if there is just any way that we as a church can help you or meet a need that you or a loved one may have, again, contact us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Without further ado, we're going to start a new series that we're going to call Seeking God's Face When Faced with Fear. Fear is one of the most misunderstood aspects about the Christian life. For one reason, it's misunderstood in that it is a bad thing to have fear. For instance, God commands believers, those who are following Him, to have reverential fear of Him. And yet, we are commanded to not fear the things of the world, the things of the flesh, and the things that we temporarily see. So we are commanded to have it, and yet we are commanded to not have fear. What is fear? And more importantly, when we are faced with fear, what are we to do in light of it? What does God want us to do when we are faced with fear? Merriam-Webster defines fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by the, get this, belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. In other words, fear is something that is impressed upon us when we think that some aspect of our being is being threatened. And I word it that way because it's not just physical things, obviously, that we can be afraid of. It can be verbal things that you can be afraid of. It can be a spiritual aspect that you're afraid of. One of the most common things that plague believers, genuinely saved Christians, is the fear of our personal reputation. Many times we don't step out in our faith, or we are afraid to live out our faith because we are afraid of our reputation being threatened. We are afraid of how our appearance to those around us will be perceived, and that is being threatened because of our fear of what other people think of us. So with that understanding of what fear is, how does the Bible portray fear, and what are we to do in light of it? One person described fear as false evidence appearing real. I'll say that again. False evidence appearing real. In other words, many of the things that we find ourselves afraid of are not reality. For instance, if you're anything like me, when I was a younger kid, I was definitely afraid of the dark. And most people who are afraid of the dark are not afraid of one particular thing. It's rather the unknown that they are afraid of. In other words, I was afraid of false evidence that was appearing real to me. Psalm 27 addresses the issue of fear. If you have done any study in Psalm 27, you realize that the author is David, who, unlike most people listening to this broadcast, has legitimate reason to be afraid on a regular basis. David was attacked in more ways and on more occasion than anyone listening to this broadcast. David reveals to us three critical things to remember when we are faced with fear. And these three points that David reminds us of are all aspects of seeking God's face. Psalm 27 is most known for verses 8 and 9 that says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Lord, your face do I seek.' Verse 9 goes on, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation." So what I'm going to relay to the listener today is that the heart of avoiding fear in your life is seeking the face of God. So what does seeking God's face look like? Well, there are three aspects of seeking God's face. First of all, to avoid fear, seek the face of God by remembering your confidence is in the Lord. Remember your confidence is in the Lord. We see this in verses 1 and also in verse 14. And David wrote this psalm in a chiastic fashion, namely that the beginning and the end of this psalm have the same point and the same purpose of why David wrote it. And then if you move one verse down and one verse up from the first point, we'll see the next point. And then finally, at the heart of the psalm, we see our third and final point. But again, our first point is going to be the beginning and the end of the psalm, which is remembering our confidence is in the Lord. First of all, our confidence is that the Lord is our light in dark times. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light." David wanted to remind himself when he's afraid and when he sees nothing but the darkness of the world, and whether he's in a battle, whether it's a family feud, whether it's just a personal conflict, when all he could see is the darkness around him, he remembered that the Lord is his light. Psalm 18:28 carries the exact same idea when it says, "For it is you, the Lord, who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." So David wants to remind everyone who is a follower of the God that he worships that he, God, is their light in dark times. Second of all, be confident that the Lord is your salvation in dire times. Salvation in dire times. We see this in verse 1 as well. The Lord is not only my light, but he is my salvation. Now, this salvation is not salvation by grace that the Apostle Paul details in the New Testament that we understand salvation to be in a spiritual sense. Salvation in this passage most likely refers to a physical deliverance of calamity or some type of material persecution. David uses a lot of battle language throughout this psalm. He uses terms like the enemies encamping around them. He uses terms that detail that there was a war going on and he was expressing his fears during a battle. So salvation is referring to a physical deliverance that David knew that his God could do. But regardless, if David is referring to one particular battle or if he's just referring to how he dealt with fear in any battle, the point of his words here is to show that God is able to deliver you from any situation. Now, that doesn't mean that he will deliver you from any situation, but that he is able to. And he clarifies that this is not just any salvation, but this is the light and my salvation. In other words, he doesn't turn to anyone or anything else when he is in a dire situation. He turns to the Lord. So remember, when you're afraid, that the Lord is your light. To give clarity on a situation, to dispel darkness, the Lord is the one to do that. But also to deliver you, to navigate you through a situation where you feel yourself afraid, the Lord is your salvation, the one to bring you through. But finally, we see that your confidence is in the Lord and that the Lord is your fortress in dangerous times. The Lord is your fortress in dangerous times. We see this in the last part of verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" The word strength is translated in other passages as fortress or a bulwark. It's translated with the idea of being a wall or a shelter that you can hide in or hide under. Other translations also use the word stronghold, but it simply just refers to a place that can protect you from an enemy or from an attack or even just the elements that you'd face during a battle. So David had his confidence in God because he was the one that he would turn to and run to in his times of being afraid. One of the most important aspects of a battle is not just having light to be able to see the people that you are fighting, be able to see where the traps are or where the enemy's fortresses are or where their archers are, but not just to have the light, but to have the ability to navigate through the battle, salvation. But now we see fortress as a third reminder from David. And this is in times of when you need to rest or when the battle seems to be dying out, you can go to a place of protection, a fortress. God was David's fortress that he could turn to and run to for protection in times of need. So we see light, salvation, and fortress. This carries the idea of being anchored to God. Many times throughout the Bible, we see Jesus or God being referred to as our anchor. Jesus in Hebrews is referred to as the great anchor of our soul. And anchors, many times in that day, were just a giant stone that had a hole hollowed all the way through that they'd send a rope through so that when they were trying to, if they were fishing or if they were just trying to stay close to shore, they would drop this anchor with the rope through it, and it would hold the boat throughout the waves, throughout whatever was going on. One commentator noted that the power of an anchor throughout a storm in these words: the power of an anchor is that it can hold a boat in one place regardless of the sea conditions. The wind may blow, the waves may pound the boat, but the properly anchored vessel will withstand the storm. We can conclude then that Psalm 27 provides a powerful picture of David being anchored to the nature and the character of God. I wonder if you find yourself being afraid of any number of things, whether it be financial insecurity, whether it be family feuds or family problems that you're going through. Maybe it's a failure of sin, a moral degradation that you see in your own heart. Maybe you are afraid of the future of your job or a future of relationships that you are seeking to start and seeking to maintain, or future relationships that you don't know of. If you find yourself being afraid throughout any of those categories or in one that I may not have mentioned, what will you do to navigate through that? If you are a born-again believer, you are to remind yourself, first of all, that your confidence is in the Lord. We're out of time for today's broadcast, but thank you for tuning in. Again, if you are interested in a copy of the show notes, or if you have any questions or a suggestion for us, feel free to contact us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. Until next time, Lord bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.